For many years, commentator Anna Ebra-Flaster has enjoyed hearing stories from her friend, the police officer. But recently, his job changed. He became an undercover narcotics investigator, and the new assignment has changed him.
Even before his rookie days, my friend Andres had always been fit and neat and, well, kind of cop-like. Clean-cut, square-jawed, straight-backed. He looked like a nice version of the cyborg cop in the second Terminator movie. But then, a while back, after years on the force, he entered the ranks of undercover narcotics detective. And now, I'm not sure what I've got on my hands anymore. Last year, at a wake for a friend's grandmother, not one of us recognized him when he slinked in, all slouchy and loose. He sported a little pot belly, a ponytail, big Hawaiian shirt, and a rather long goatee. We all turned away at the same time, hoping the poor slob might realize his mistake and head to the pub down the street instead. But then, one of the undertakers approached him, and we heard Andres say, "It's okay, sir. I'm law enforcement." We turned around and beheld the slovenly spectacle, who was actually one of us. He told me how he loved the work, about the dedication of his team, their abilities and skills. His latest months-long surveillance played like an action drama, a car chase, FBI, U.S. Marshals and Bronx cops corralling and then arresting four homicidal dealers. But you know, he admitted, it's really hard to get help at the drugstore when you look like this. His mother thinks he deserves the poor service. "He just doesn't smell good," she says. She remains unswayed when I remind her that, given the amount of time he spends in smoky bars and hot street corners, we can't be too surprised. "It's just not right," she says. But I worry about the subtler changes in Andres. In the old days, he used to enjoy telling us about the wacky things that happened. A dead body that sat up and asked, "Who's there?" A 300-pound mother delivering her own child in a dark room. The cross-dresser in deep trouble at a parent's night. His voice always held a note of wonder. But lately, his stories, when you can wrest them out of him, have a cynical dip at the end, and he gives few details. Like his account of how he broke apart the happy, clean home of a young family, up to their necks in the drug trade, he pulled the nervous wife aside, talked her up, expertly winning her confidence, and got her to flip, to tell him their whole story, which of course ended in their immediate arrest. Andres stayed behind and comforted their young son. Held his hand, he said, till the social worker arrived. That's it. No insights, no hopeful observations. Those rounding elements, if they linger somewhere inside him, remain there. Those of us out here probably could never really understand it anyway. Maybe that's why, the last time I asked him for news, he just shrugged, scratched his beard, and looked out the window.
Anna Ebra-Flaster lives in Lexington, Massachusetts.